Good Neir Shabbos, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shir number 137, in the Svarim of Rav Zalek Pliskin, another Svarim pertaining to self-confidence and clear thinking that brings you to a healthy degree of self-confidence. And today we're going to talk about the right and wrong trap. And the idea behind this is as follows. It's unhealthy to have your own standards of what right and what wrong is. Now, in the secular world, they take it to an extreme. And they say there's no such thing as right or wrong. Or you don't have to feel guilty if you did something that other people do wrong, and vice versa. And that's not healthy, that's destructive. That is not what we mean about unhealthy shoulds or unhealthy right and wrong trap. Because the truth is we don't believe that. We believe there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created for us the world, and he gave us Torah and mitzvahs, and he told us the difference between right and wrong. There are mitzvahs, there are averis. So to say that there's no right or wrong, or don't feel bad, you're burdening yourselves because you should do this, should do that, and you're really exempt from everything and don't you have nothing to worry about, that's false. That's not the healthy way of using this principle. But what does help and what one needs to use this principle for is when we use right and wrong in terms of black and white absolutes. That's not halachically that way. Or when a Rav tells you that for you this certain thing should be done, gives you a heter, but that's best for you. There, you can't use your own judgment and say, no, that's wrong, because the Torah says this and you're telling me that. Because when you listen to Chazal and they tell you what you're supposed to do, that is the right. If, I'll give you an example. Your Rav is very makbid. Everywhere you go, you should have a minion. But then you tell him and your wife comes along together and they're very worn out. And the Rav says, this is the only time you could take off, take a vacation and go here and wherever it is. They got someplace on Shabbos and they can't go to a minyan. And the Rav says, I paskin for you this Shabbos because you need it so much. Your wife needs it so much and you got this opportunity. Go and don't daven with a minyan on Shabbos Shachris, just as an example. If that matzav comes your way, that's your right. That is your R-I-G-H-T. For somebody else who's healthy and they have access to a shul and they don't daven Shachar Shabbos with a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah Musaf, that's something very off. That's wrong in almost all circumstances. But in the situation I just gave you, that the nerves are shot and the wife is very worn out and they need to reconnect and they need that quiet place for themselves, the Rav will say for you this Shabbos, no minyan. You daven b'yichidus with your wife, you stay with her all the time, and so on and so forth. That becomes your right, R-I-G-H-T. So that's what we mean of a trap between the erroneous rights or wrongs. If someone wants to control their taiva, so they hold back from eating cake, and they were able to hold back for already 5 months, and now it's 5 months and one day, and the husband who made this kabbalah is driving home from work and he's worn, he's tired, he's irritated, he's agitated, and he knows this and he's about to go home to work, and in the office there's no food other than a little Danish and some orange juice. And he knows, like Raziel Tauber brought this concept, that by eating and drinking this, he'll make a bracha, he'll eat, he'll calm down, he'll be able to come when he has a 20, 30-minute commute home. He won't be crazy hungry or anything like that. It'll calm his nerves, and it'll come in, and it'll be easier for him to have a pleasant disposition coming home. I would think most Rabbanim would say, break that cycle. It was beautiful that you held back and didn't eat cake for all this time, but in this matziv, if you're so tense and hungry, and you know that by being hungry and tired, you're going to have a higher risk of hurting your wife when you come home, avoid that risk by eating this cake, calming down, drinking this thing, calming down, and then you, as you drive and then you come home and you do everything you can. So these are examples of not creating your own rights. It's not right versus wrong. It's what Hashem wants for you, from you, based on the Torah, the teachings that you receive. A tales, a spin-off of the unhealthy, you know, right and wrong thinking is indecisiveness. There are times where you're not sure that you wait. But there are times where you'll never be 100% sure, and you force yourself, despite it, that you may be inaccurate, you go ahead with it and make the decision and move on. If you're always going to worry about that, you'll never accomplish anything in life. Not everyone has a rav in their pocket that you could just pull out and ask the shaila right there and then let him answer you. There'll be situations in life where you have to go through some situations where it may not be so clear. And shav al tasa is not always the correct thing. Holding back and saying, oh, I'll keep a low profile, that's not always the correct thing. Rav Zigna Miller gave some examples of this. I think something similar to this aspect. If you're by a bris in the morning, after the bris, they have a suda. They serve danishes, they serve orange juice, and whatever they serve. So, one person asked the other person, could you pass the orange juice? And he wasn't careful when he passed it, and it spilled over that other person's suit. So that other person was Meichlem, no big deal. But then this guy makes up, he has such agmas nefesh that he destroyed this guy's suit. I will never pass a drink to anyone in any meal or any suda ever because of what I did here, that I was mazik his suit. That is erroneous thinking. Hashem wants you to continue to pass drinks and food when needed. It may spill again. The response, so what? So then you fix the situation then, but you don't hold back from doing good things because of that fear. You don't do that. And that is important to know. Your effectiveness is not measured by your ability to make right choices. It's by your ability to do everything you can to try to handle yourself emotionally healthy in that mode, in the way you're interacting. That is the real key. But this folly of shoulds and musts and oughts, that you have to do this, you have to do that, is perfectionism, OCD, obsessiveness. The Torah says you should do certain things, but you ask a Rav. That's the disciple time and time again in his letters. Talk about it. The one example he gives is this ultra-extreme self-examination after one relieves themselves in the bathroom, where the Shulchan Aruch says you do certain small steps and you're clean, api halacha, and people go overboard and it creates OCD situations. That should is not healthy. The should of keeping the Torah the way it, you know, Tariq Mitzvahs, that is healthy. But the should, those other shoulds, not healthy. Karen Horney, she was a psychiatrist, brilliant, one of the students of Freud, said the shoulds always produce a feeling of strain. And she goes through other things over here too. But one has to be careful with this. When people are machmer beyond, or makel beyond, both of the ways, the shoulds get all warped up. So one has to be very careful with that. That's why a person needs a healthy, healthy manig, or mentor, a teacher. That's the idea. The stupid rules that people have. Because one person said, eat your corn and the cob this way, you have to eat it that way. Always wait for this person before you do this. Introduce always this person before that. Sit this place by a chasana. Sit that place by a chasana. Tip this amount, not tip that amount. Use this words, not that words. And so on and so forth. All these proper hanhaga, cultural proper rules that are meaningless rules. That's what we mean by unhealthy shoulds. The Tariq Mitzvahs, D'oraisa, M'drabanan, 1,000,000,000%. We have to mekayim each one of them. 1,000,000%. But anything other than that is not a should. Who says it has to be that way? And even with this, it's the oifen in the way you can mekayim any given mitzvah. And if it's not in the right context, there's no should there. Then you putter or it doesn't apply. This idea of what should I wear is an example of this. Gives up a chunk of yourself. Who cares what should you wear? You wear what you want to wear. Of course, Torah tells you, be tzniyistic. So you follow Torah's dictates with that, true. But within the confines of that, if it is tzniyistic, and whatever it is, who cares what should I wear? I wear what I choose to wear. That's true to yourself. You don't need external supports. You don't need an external support system. Hashem is your support. Ein oy milvadoy. Millions are your support. Millions of neshamas collectively are your support. You're one. All coming from Hashem. Ein oy milvadoy. Rules and laws, unless they're directly from the Torah and used directly as a samachayim from real true tzaddikim, that is chayim. Given by corrupt rabbonim or corrupt manhigim, telling you to do this, to do that, to wear this glasses because the other glasses is treif, that's a should that's poison. The should that's healthy, Hashem gives tzedakah, you give tzedakah overall. If you're very tight and your Rav says in your situation you're not allowed to give tzedakah, or you're only allowed to give a small amount, normally there's meiser, but for you it's not meiser. For you, you only give tzedakah 1/100th. For whatever reason the Rav told you that halachically based on your matziv, you follow him and you give 1/100th. I aser to aser, meiser, whatever it is, it's only a minute, whatever the cheshbonos are. There's no such thing as blind obedience to rules and laws, even the Shulchan Aruch. The Marshal did not agree with the concept of the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Moshe Feinstein, not everyone did this. He didn't paskin through the Shulchan Aruch. He used Ma'ayin and Sugyas and paskined accordingly. And even in those G'dayli Yisrael that do paskin according to the Shulchan Aruch, you ask them, and you'll find out, shocking, shocking, we follow the Ramah, and these Paiskim say, don't follow the Ramah in certain instances. I'm not getting into halachic aspects here, otherwise we'll go off a tangent. But the idea being is, there's no such thing as blind obedience to rules and laws. There's obedience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, follow these rules and laws, and sometimes Hashem says, Hefsim Ruba, you don't. Sometimes Hashem says, Beinol Nechaveira, consideration of something, you don't. And let the Moir HaRoh, a healthy, healthy Moir HaRoh, we should daven halavai, we should have more of them. They're the ones who tell you. You do laws? What are laws worth? The Nazis killed 6 million Jews. Besides murdering and mistreating millions and millions of others. Why? Law. Nuremberg laws. Legal laws. Put in action. Barbarism. But it's halacha. It's laws. That was the ultimate rishus of Germany during that time, because there was a code then, there was halachais then, you do this, you do that, and so on and so forth. They made brutality into these laws, roll calls, and things like that. It is really, really dangerous, just like lawlessness is dangerous. These extreme obedience to laws is dangerous too. And to be a healthy human being with healthy self-esteem, you need to know the difference between you do. You don't follow a law blindly. You ask a shayla, you figure it out, you do what you need to do, and that's it. Here's an example of the blindness of just blind laws. Someone that was stationed in Guam in the South Pacific, and he was struck by the willingness of many enlisted men to enforce rules that were absurd. Officers were allowed to sit on red benches, which were sheltered, and they watched outdoor movies. At a midnight showing of the movie, which the officers never intended, there was an enlisted man assigned to ensure that no one sat on the red benches. And every evening, you would see a group of enlisted sailors sitting in the rain, with one of their ranks guarding the section of empty red benches to ensure that that rule was followed. And when you ask why you're doing this, I make the rules, I don't enforce them. Those who are too lazy and comfortable to think for themselves and be their own judges, obey the laws. Others sense their own laws within them, things are forbidden to them, that every honorable man will do any day in the year, and other things are allowed to them that are generally despised. Each person needs to stand on his own feet. Again, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting him on his feet. You can't use your own seichel all the time. Right? You can't say Koichi V'yotzim Yadi. Right? B'tach El Hashem B'chol Libecha. Trust Hashem all your heart. V'el B'nasach Al Tishon. Don't rely on your understanding. So you don't make your understanding an Avodah Zarah. But on the fact that Hashem gave you a seichel, and when Hashem tells you use it, you use it. And if a should is ridiculous, you throw it out in the garbage. So you have to know that shikl. That helps tremendously with self-esteem. Not to be shaken by these external halachas. A shtreimel has to cost this, and the furniture has to cost that. And you have to give a ring that costs this, and you have to ring that costs that. And you have to go to tish this amount of times a year. And you have to wear this type of thick stockings. And you have to wear this type of this and that type of that. Control freaky nature that is in the guise of Azoi Shtaiten Alucha Vishtaitnisht. The shoulds are poison. Hashem's should of keep the mitzvahs, stay away from Averis, Deiris, and Rabbanon. That is the healthy should. And how you dictate that is through healthy G'dayle Yisrael. Because through healthy G'dayle Yisrael, a person may think they're healthy, they could get through Yom Kippur. I don't want to, I fasted for 69 years, and now you're telling me I have to eat? Yes, that's your should. The Rav Paskin, based on your medical condition, you need to eat Shiurim are not enough, you have to eat full meals. Yom Kippur, you have Agmas Nefesh terribly. But your should, I have to, if you don't fast, if you're healthy. And here the Chazon Ish or any godly soul says, the Belzer Rebbe says, eat. So what does a person do on Yom Kippur? He eats, and then he benches with Yalav Yavai, so on and so forth. So be very careful with these man-made shoulds and avoid it like the plague, because that confuses a person and weakens their ability to rely on themselves when Hashem wants them to do so. Bracha v'atzlacha.